him. Let's give God another round of applause just for his presence, his power in our worship. And let's give our praise team a hand, man. Those guys work so hard to lead us to the throne of grace. Man, it's powerful, powerful to just feel God's presence in the room. And to feel, you know, the Spirit literally moving and working in us. And that's what we've been talking about with this series, is the workings and the moving of the Holy Spirit in our personal lives, in our individual lives. And He produces these fruits that we've been talking about. In this series, it's all about what the Holy Spirit is doing. Matt said it so well. He said it's what God has been doing and what God has done in our lives that we celebrate. It's not what we do. It's what the workings of the Holy Spirit has done in us and through us and is developing. And so, man, just how powerful that is to be able to come in and celebrate that as the body of Christ, as the church, that we get to celebrate together corporately what God has been doing. And here's the thing, not just what He's been doing, but what He's going to do, even today. What's He going to do this week? And as we celebrate those things, man, it's powerful. It's powerful. You know, we've got a lot of things going on today. We're talking about gentleness, and what a great time to be talking about gentleness. Just with everything that's going on in our culture and our nation right now. You know, gentleness is the missing thing that we see. We see everything else. We see hostility. We see all kinds of things. We see barbed words being thrown back and forth. We see arguments and dissension. And so the very fruit of the Spirit, gentleness, is one of the greatest things that our nation needs, that our community needs, that God wants to be able to develop in us so that the world can see that there is hope, there is peace. We've got an eclipse tomorrow. Has anybody heard about that? Golly. You know, hey, there's something to be celebrated in that, again, it just screams how powerful our God is, in that He can literally speak those things into existence. The very Word of God develops and created all that we see. He literally spoke the earth into existence and then put it on its orbit. And so the thing is we get to celebrate all of God's creation tomorrow. But you know what? The media and everybody else and all the marketing stuff is just about, you know, overblown. It drove us crazy. And it's easy to kind of lose our gentleness towards that when we ought to really, really be celebrating that. Let's take a look at this passage here that we've been reading. And I want to ask you guys if you would to stand today. Just for whatever reason, God just put it on my heart. Maybe because we're getting so used to reading this passage. I want you to stand as we read it. Because I feel like we've read it so many times. Maybe it's just, hey, He's reading that again. And so I want you to read along with me, just kind of, I don't worry about standing cadence with me or anything. You can just kind of read along, but I just want you to kind of see this passage, maybe in a new light, maybe from a different perspective. And it's talking about living by the Spirit's power. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you will be doing what you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. There's a battle. And so you're not free to carry out your own good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. And when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to His cross and crucified them there. And since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. Thank you. You guys can be seated. The reading of God's Word is powerful. And so I think at times we can kind of get used to going through it. And I just want us to see it, maybe read it a little bit different today. But here's the same. It's the same truth. The workings of the Holy Spirit, the workings of God in our life produces these things. And oftentimes what we do is we say, well, you know, I'm not really wanting, you know, to be patient. You know, that, you know, God has to put you through all kinds of trials and tribulations. And, you know, and so here's the thing is we need to say, God, I want every fruit. And so here's one that, you know, a lot of times for men, we're not sure we want to be known as gentle. Gentle is a positive thing. Gentleness is a very positive thing. And man, and it opens up doors. And man, it begins to affect the people around us. I want you to watch this video clip. This is a good video clip of what gentleness can do. Started out good, okay? It started out good. You saw a smile on the little boy's face. And here's the thing, is gentleness can have an effect on the people around us. Now, it can also be lost, you know, and it can, and whenever, if it's not genuine, if it's not real, it can have a big impact in the wrong way. And so here's the thing, is what if we were gentle and it was sincere? What if God moved on us in such a way that we said, you know what, God, I want this fruit to be evident to the people around me. I think it would put a smile on people's face. I think whenever we see the workings of the Holy Spirit, and we see God, and we can literally see Jesus in people, it puts a smile on our face. It inspires us. It encourages us. And we think, man, I want to be like that. I want to be that type of dad. I want to be that type of mom. I want to be that type of friend. And so the thing is the workings of the Holy Spirit are something that is desirable, and we should want to be like that. Look at this statement here. It says, gentleness, also translated meekness, does not mean weakness. Rather, it involves humility and thankfulness toward God and polite, restrained behavior towards others. And so the thing I want you to understand, and I think for us men, you know, we've always had the mentality, you know, cowboy up and, you know, don't be a wimp. You know, you want to be a man's man. Jesus was a man's man. Jesus was a man's man. There's not anybody that I can think of throughout history, you know, that I feel like is more of a man than Jesus Christ. When we look at the fact that he went to the cross, he went through the beatings, the scourgings, and he still never spoke out. He never decided, hey, listen, this is enough. I can't take it anymore. But he went all the way to the cross, and he was pierced for your transgressions and for my transgressions, for my sins, for my wrongdoings. He went to the cross. Literally, he laid on the cross, let them drive nails in his hands and feet, and would hang there and literally suffocate and suffer for you and for me, for our sins. Because of the love that he had for us, and because he knew that he was the only sacrifice that could suffice, that could clear our debt. And so when I think about a man's man, I think about Jesus. I think about someone who was strong, someone who had the authority, but yet it was restrained. And here's the thing, is he would speak strongly to people at times. So it's not being weak. He would address sin for what it was. And so I want us to look here. Jesus modeled gentleness. So even though he was a man's man, he was a godly example, and he modeled gentleness. It says, then Jesus came to me. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. There are many of you that are toting burdens around today, and you've been toting so many things around. And Jesus is saying to you, hey, listen, come to me and let me take your burdens. The hardest thing for us to do sometimes is to let go, is to let God, and to see what God can do. I love what Matthew said earlier when he said, you know, that he, you know, Jesus said, hey, come follow me and see what will take place. And there's some of you in this room that maybe you need to come up and you just need to lay some things down and say, you know what, God, I'm laying this burden down. I want to see what you will do. God, I trust you. God, I want you to work in me. God, I want you to move in me. God, I want you to shape me and mold me. I want to become more like you. And here's the thing. Jesus modeled gentleness. And so for every person in the room, man, woman, or child, we should say, God, I want to be known as that person who is gentle. Look at this passage here out of Matthew 23. It says, oh, this is Jesus again. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones God's messengers. How often I have wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings, but you wouldn't let me. That's gentleness from a man's man. That's gentleness from Jesus.
And we see where he would tell the disciples were trying to keep the children from getting to him. He said, listen, don't keep the children back. Let them come unto me. And it says that he took one and he set it on his lap and he said, listen, to become a part of the kingdom of God, you have to have faith like one of these little ones. You know, and so Jesus is saying, listen, there's this gentleness that we see in him. There's this power that is under control. And for every one of us, you know, the world ought to be able to see that there is gentleness among us. And that we have the workings of the Holy Spirit working in us, developing this. Not something we do on our own, but it's something that the Holy Spirit brings. And let me just say this. We can walk out of here and say, you know, I'm going to try to be gentle this week. But what if you were to say, you know what, God, I want to meet with you. God, I want to submit and surrender. That's what that scripture said. As we submit and surrender to the Holy Spirit, it will produce gentleness. We don't go out and just try to be kinder to people or more gentle with people or more gentle with children or more gentle with those who are maybe not in agreement with us. But what it is you and I saying, you know, Holy Spirit, I want to submit and surrender to you. I want you to work in me. I want you to bring about this fruit. And I want it to be literally something that would glorify God the Father, not me. And so a lot of times we walk out of here and say, well, I'll just be a better man. I'll be a better person. And we go out of here and I'm going to try to be gentle this week. And I'm going to try. Let the Holy Spirit bring that about. Let the workings of the Holy Spirit bring that to fruition. Look at this passage here. It's a great picture of Jesus' gentleness again. Many of us are familiar with the story. It says Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning he was back again at the temple. And a crowd soon gathered and he sat down and talked to him. And as he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. So she's half naked. And they put her in front of the crowd, trying to humiliate her. Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? They're trying to trap him. They're trying to bring something about here that might cause his demise. And they were trying to trap him into saying something that could be used against him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer. And so he stood up again and said, all right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. And then he stooped down again and he wrote in the dust. And when the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. And then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. Man, what a beautiful picture of the gentleness of Christ. Here was the Messiah, the promised one, the Son of God, God in flesh. The Gospel of John makes it very clear that the Word became flesh and He dwelt among us. God in flesh. And so here is God who we all say, hey, here's a God who is a holy God, who is a just God, who is a righteous God. But yet He would show mercy and grace. That is the heart of our God. The God that we serve cares about us. And so here's this woman who was caught in the act of adultery. And these guys sling her in front of the crowd, humiliating her, shaming her, doing everything they can to belittle her. And then it says that Jesus gets down and He stoops down and begins to write or draw in the dust. And if you read the passage, it says they continued to accuse her. And so He's not speaking. He's writing in the dust. And of course, people ask, what did He write? Did He write their names? Did He write their sins? Or was it just doing something to draw attention away from her? And they're continuing. And then He stands, He says, you who was without sin, cast the first stone. And as they thought about it, they realized, man, we've all sinned. And we all have. And so for a lot of us, we would say, well, you know, why would He not condemn her for her sin? He doesn't condemn, but here's the thing. He did call it what it was. He called it sin. And so I want us to look at a couple of things here. Jesus modeled restraint. He modeled restraint. He modeled that gentle, quiet spirit. He modeled restraint with the men who were trying to accuse her, trying to stone her, trying to take her life. He modeled restraint with them. He modeled restraint with the guys that He knew were trying to trap Him. He knew that they were trying to trap Him. You know, and so here's the thing. He modeled restraint. He tells them, you walk away. You cast the first stone if you have no sin. And so He kind of helps them open up. That's the thing about Jesus. Every time He would ask a question, it always revealed ourselves to ourselves. It revealed our heart, our intentions, our motives. Throughout Scripture, when Jesus was asked, it's not like Jesus didn't know. He's just asking so that we can finally see it for what it is. We begin to ask those questions of ourselves. And so Jesus modeled restraint. He didn't retaliate against these guys. He didn't retaliate against the woman. Jesus showed compassion. He showed compassion towards all. And I think all of us, you know, every time we read that, we know that He showed compassion to the women. But you know what? He showed compassion to those who were the accusers. And too often, you know, we think that we're the woman when actually we're the accusers. We have a tendency to point fingers at everybody and tell everybody else what's wrong with someone else's life whenever we are the ones that can't really throw a stone. And so not only did Jesus model, you know, gentleness with the woman, but He modeled gentleness with the men who were trying to stone her, trying to accuse her. He showed compassion to them and let them know, you know what, you, the accuser, and that's us. Too often, that's us. We're the accuser. We're pointing out what's wrong with someone else. We have a judgmental spirit. We're constantly trying to figure out what's wrong with everybody else rather than going, hey, what's wrong with me? And Jesus is saying to you and He's saying to me, hey, look at your heart. Is your heart right? Is your heart right with God? And then look at the next one. Jesus spoke truth. He spoke truth to everyone involved. He spoke truth into the life of the young lady. He spoke truth into the lives of these men. That we've all sinned, we've all fallen short. But He did it with gentleness. It's one of the stories that we look back and we go, you know, how powerful that was that Jesus, you know, he drew attention away from this young woman. He told her to go and sin no more. And so he spoke truth. He didn't sit there and say, hey, listen, you just keep doing what you're doing. You know, hey, listen, don't listen to these guys. You know what you're doing is not that bad. He spoke truth to everyone involved. And here's the thing. We've got to be able to speak truth into people's lives, but we have to know truth. We have to know what truth is. And then here's the next one. Jesus called for repentance. Jesus called for repentance. A young woman who had been living in this lifestyle and been involved in this adulterous affair, He says, neither do I. Go and sin no more. And so Jesus speaks here. He calls to repentance. And I'll just tell you this. He calls us to repentance. He calls us to repentance. Let me tell you, you know, our nation, this is a great time for us to respond with repentance. The church, the bride of Christ, we have a great opportunity to model gentleness. In a season whenever our nation is in an uproar, all you have to do is watch the news, watch the media. It doesn't matter which one you watch. There's all kinds of stuff. And, you know, and of course, I think we all know, if you've got any kind of common sense, that the media's job is to do everything they can to stir things up and to present them in such a way that we will watch them. That's their job. They call it newsworthy, if you would. And so the thing is, that's their job. But our job as the body of Christ is that we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us in such a way that the things that we bring to the table or to any conversation is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. We begin to go down through those fruits of the Spirit. For us as believers, that's what we are to bring to the table. That's what we're to bring to the table. And so the thing is we've got to be willing to speak truth, but we do it with gentleness. And here's the thing, we've got to be willing to focus on the right things. Too often and too many times, you know, we get caught up in the wrong things. You know, social media is an incredible tool. And I think even with the eclipse, we can see how social media has really worked us into a frenzy. You know, because I don't know if you guys, has anybody in here ever survived an eclipse before? Raise your hand. You know, I didn't realize how close I was to death's door, but obviously it's a big deal. And I understand, you know, that this is a special one and only comes along so many times in a year. And I think it's something worth, you know, enjoying and kind of seeing it from a science perspective and from a creation perspective. I think that's positive. But what happens is social media in this day and age, is it can be a very effective tool or it can be a very corrosive, damaging tool. You know, and here's the thing, is oftentimes we see people, you know, we're talking about gentleness, we're talking about restraint here. I see people go on rants on Facebook or whatever it might be. And we want to get on there and we want to share our opinion. We want to really just rip or shred somebody or something or that driver. You know, I just want the driver in such and such car to know, like they know you're, like they're going to read your Facebook post. You know, and so here's the thing is, we're not using it for things that show, you know, hey, God is at work in me. We use it to show our ignorance a lot of times. And we show our attitude, and we show a lot of the things that are in this first list up here rather than the fruits of the Spirit. And so what happens is we misuse some tools that have been given to us. And I don't know if you realize, but like radio and TV and all these things that have been given to us have great use, and it can be a very effective tool. But it can also be misused by us and Satan will take it and use it for his purposes. And so the thing is we have to be careful with our Facebook post or our Instagram or whatever it might be, whatever you're using, whatever social media you're throwing out there. Be careful with your words. Be quick not to condemn, but be quick to offer grace. And here's the thing is, you know, a lot of times what we do is we go out and we try to stir things up. What list does that fall in? Someone who likes to stir up dissension, division. And let me tell you, I see plenty of Christians who love to try to stir things up. And they say, well, I'm just trying to get a debate going. All right, well, here's the thing. Is that what's needed? Is that really the best thing? And so the thing is you know, there's nothing wrong with dialoguing about Scripture. I think that's a positive thing. But whenever you get it out on Facebook and you've got unbelievers who are watching it and they're going, that's the reason I don't go to church. These idiots can't get along with one another. Why in the world would I want to go be a part of that? And I'm just shooting straight. That's speaking truth. Maybe kind of harsh words, but I'm just saying that's how we are perceived sometimes. And so it's a great tool to be used for positive things, to present hope, truth. And here's the thing is to be able to offer to others, hey, you know what, here's a scripture to claim. Here's something positive to be out there. So be careful what you do with that. And so here's a statement here that says, we tend to think of being gentle as to go easy on people and try to justify actions that God has called sin or to let someone continue in sin without speaking the truth. But that's not what Jesus modeled. We look back at this story here. He didn't pretty up what the girl was doing. And there's some of us, you know, that we have friends in our lives that we know that, you know what, they're living in sin. But we don't want to offend them, and so we don't speak the truth. And there's some people around us, you know what, that they don't know the truth. I'll go ahead and tell you this. I don't expect the world to act like followers of Christ. But I think that God expects the church to act like followers of Christ. And so as believers, we ought to be able to go to a brother or a sister in Christ and be able to say, hey, listen, man, let me just talk to you about something. This is something I've seen. And be able to talk to them because you love them and you care about them. Not because you're trying to say, hey, listen, you're less than I am. I'm over you. I can see all the sin in your life, and I'm just letting you know. That's not our role. But if we love them, we care about them. It's like if I've got a friend that I see that his marriage is falling apart because he is doing all these things that are robbing and undermining his marriage, and I see that, you know what, his wife feels a certain way, then I'm going to speak truth to him. Why? Because I love him, and I love his wife, and I love their family. And so every one of us in this room, we need people around us that love us enough to speak truth and that they're willing to say, hey, listen, you may not want to hear this, man, but I love you, and I've got to speak this into your life. And we're not doing it in a condescending way. We're not trying to belittle them. We're trying to lift them up. We're trying to encourage them. And we're trying to offer hope to them. And so the thing is that's what our world needs. Not condemnation, not ridicule, not arguing, but hope, truth, life. Be life-giving in our words as we speak over people. Look at this passage here out of Galatians. It says, dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. You should gently and humbly go to a brother, go to a sister, and reach out to them. And be careful. I mean, the Scripture is very clear. Be careful. But you're to go to them. You're to help them. You're to encourage them to walk with them. There's a statement here. It may be on the screens. I'm not sure. But it says, gentleness is the humble and meek attitude of wanting to help other people instead of wanting to be superior to them. Instead of being superior to them. This attitude flows from a spirit of real love for the individual, having true, outgoing concern for their well-being. Such an attitude is shown in how we think about others, treat others, and what we say about them. We're to model gentleness. And here's the thing is we're to care about people to the point that we are, you know, we're humble, we're gentle in how we deal with them. We love them, we care about them, we want what is best for them. And so Jesus modeled calling sin what is sin. And I think sometimes we worry about, hey, well, if I say something, it's going to push them further away. God is greater than that. And we serve a sovereign God. I believe that God will take our words, if it's truth, and if it's done with humility and it's done with gentleness, because then we are what? We are lining up with God's word. And we speak into a friend's life. We speak into a family member's life. And we know it's because of love. Let love be your motivation. And here's the thing. We have to trust the Holy Spirit to take that and use that. I've shared with you before how God has had people speak into my life. And man, there was times whenever I needed to hear that. And I would receive it, and I was broken over my sin. And so there's somebody out there that's like me that, you know what, man, I was blind to that. I didn't see how that was being perceived. Thank you for loving me enough to speak that into my life. Look at this here. Jesus rebuked a lack of gentleness. If we think, well, you know, Mike, that's just not me. It's just not my personality. It's just not how I am. Jesus rebuked a lack of gentleness. It says, as the time drew near for him to ascend to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead to a Samaritan village to prepare for his arrival. But the people of the village did not welcome Jesus because he was on his way to Jerusalem. And when James and John saw this, they said to Jesus, Lord, should we call down fire from heaven to burn them up? But Jesus turned and rebuked them. So they went on to another village. Now think about that, James and John, sons of thunder. And you think, well, how did they get that name? It sounds like, you know, hey, their dad maybe had an attitude issue. Maybe he had an anger issue. But the thing is they go, they're not welcome there. And so that's the mentality that popped into their head. That's the flesh. That's not the spirit. And so Jesus rebuked that fleshly mentality. Hey, Jesus, do you want us just to call fire down and consume them and to destroy them? Now understand, these guys are Jewish guys. James and John are Jewish guys. And they're talking about the Samaritans who they kind of looked down on, that they thought were kind of like half-breeds, that they really didn't deserve the Word of God. And hey, do you want us to call down fire on them to destroy them? And I know some of you are going like, man, I can't believe what the disciples thought like that. And Jesus rebukes them. He says, hey, listen, they are part of the reason I have come. Jesus, like, his desire is that all men would be saved. But let me just tell you this. A lot of what we see going on right now in our nation, we see Christians with that same mentality. We're more concerned about whether a statue is taken down or whether it is put up or whether it is protected than we are about the souls of people. Some of you have been more worked up over this past week over statues than you are the souls of men. And it's bothered you more than it has that your neighbor may be going to hell, or that your friend may be going to hell, or that your family member may be going to hell. Doesn't bother you as much as a stinking statue does. That's man-made stuff. And so the thing is we have to be willing to say, God, help me to see people as you see them. God, help me to love people the way that you love them. And God, help my heart to be softened. God, to the point that people see the gentleness in me, and they see that I am concerned about them, no matter what they believe. Jesus said, hey, listen, he rebuked these disciples, and he said, I love them. I care about them. Even though they turned him away. The guy who nailed him to the cross. You think about the soldier. What if you were the soldier who was holding the mallet in your hand, and you're taking the spike in your hand, and you're driving it into his arm, into his hand, and you hear Jesus say, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. The very people that were nailing him to the cross, Father, forgive them. And so there's people that will offend us in life. And there's people that will not agree with what we agree with. They will not believe what we believe. But the thing is we are still to love them and pray for them and to extend forgiveness. Jesus modeled gentleness. Jesus modeled gentleness. He rebuked a lack of it. And look at this last part. Gentleness is part of our witness and evidence of God at work in us. It's part of our witness. Gentleness. Let me ask you, are you known as someone who is gentle? Are you known for being harsh? Are you known as someone who is gentle? Are you known as someone who is judgmental? Are you known as someone who is gentle? Are you known as someone who is hard-hearted? Stiff-necked. Stubborn, arrogant, prideful. Are you known as gentle? It says, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Philippians reminds us of that. Being considerate. Here's the thing, thinking about our words. Thinking about our actions. Why would he say, remember, the Lord is coming soon? Because here's the thing. Our window of opportunity to reach out to people who do not know Him is short. And here's the thing. Jesus will return whenever Jesus wants to return. I know a lot of people, that maybe the eclipse, a lot of people think, hey, this is the end of the world, whatever. We won't know the end of time. I know everybody tries to figure it out. But Jesus said it Himself. He said, only the Father knows when He says, son, go get your church. So we don't know that. And if you spend all your time trying to figure that out, you're wasting your time. What we ought to be doing is doing everything we can to follow what He has already told us to, and that is to go and make disciples. leading people to Christ, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, if we would be about that business, here's the thing, it quickens when He comes back. He will return whenever the gospel has been presented to all people. And so the thing is if you want Jesus to return and come back home, then be about the business that He's given you. And so our heart ought to be about doing that. And so we need to have that mentality. Gentleness is part of my witness. And so if I'm gentle towards people, and let me explain here. When I say gentle, it's strength under control. You know, it's like I had a friend of mine who was a coach. We used to always talk about if Jesus played middle linebacker, He would knock you in the dirt. And He would walk back up and say, hey, listen, let me help you up. I'll be back in just a few minutes, you know. But the thing is, it was that mentality. Whatever you do within the parameters, man, you make sure that you do it to the best of your ability. But you're gentle with people. He wouldn't run up and tackle them and lay them down. He would lay them out. He would do the best He could. And so I think that mentality, we start thinking, well, gentle means I got to be weak. No, it does not. It means that you are strong. You're strong in the Spirit. You're strong in the power of God. You're strong in the Word of God. You're strong in the workings of the Holy Spirit. And it's the fruit of the Spirit that is produced in our life. And so let's look at these next two steps here. Next steps for me today. Allow God to examine my heart and reveal if I'm full of pride or the fruit of the Holy Spirit gentleness. I think that pride and ego get in the way of gentleness. So maybe you ought to ask God right now, just say, God, am I full of pride? Am I full of hate? Am I full of arrogance? Am I full of ego? Am I self-righteous? Do I show no grace? God, I want to ask you, God, will you reveal my heart to me? Just ask Him that. Or is it the fruit of the Spirit, gentleness? And then here's the last one. I desire to be gentle towards people, just as God has been gentle towards me. Think about that. Has He been gentle with you? Absolutely. Then why are we not gentle with others? I want to ask you just to bow your heads and close your eyes. And ask yourself that first question. God, am I full of pride? Am I full of arrogance? Am I full of hate? Am I full of bitterness? Am I full of dissension? Am I full of anger? God, I want the fruit of the Spirit. I want the fruit of the Spirit to be evident in my life. And God, I know I can't go out and do those things. God, I need You. God, I need You to work in me. God, I need You to change me. God, I can't do it in my own strength. I realize that. God, I need You to change me. There may be some of you in this room. Man, you've been toting burdens around. Maybe you've been trying to do it your own self. You just think, well, I'll just be a better person. And you don't realize, you know what? You'll never be good enough. You'll never be good enough. You'll need the workings of God in you. All of us do. There's nothing good about me. But it's the work of God within me that saves me, that changes me, that equips me, that prepares me for what He has in store for me. Maybe you're here today and you've never accepted Christ. You've never asked Christ to come and live within you. Maybe today you realize, you know what? Man, I want Jesus to live within me. I want to be saved. Don't try to earn it. You just try to receive it. You just say, God, I want to receive the gift of salvation. God, I want to receive all that You have for me. I want to ask everybody just to stand. Just stand right where you're at. Don't look around. Don't worry about anybody else. I just want you to kind of narrow that focus and just say, God, I want You to focus on my heart. God, I want You to reveal my heart to me. And the altar's open. You guys can come and pray. Maybe there's a burden you need to lay down. Some of you have been toting burdens around for years and years. Some of you have been toting wounds around for years and years and years. And it's more than you can handle. It's killing you. It's crushing you. And so, as the band plays, the altar is open. Prayer team is going to be here at the front. They'll pray with you. And so you respond as the Holy Spirit leads you. We just want to give you that opportunity. We've got plenty of opportunities to do other things, but sometimes we don't always have an opportunity to just go pray at an altar. We don't have an opportunity to go pray with another believer who believes in us or who loves us. And so you respond as the Holy Spirit leads you as the band plays. It's that daily submitting, surrendering to the Spirit. It's the only thing that produces the fruit. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I want you to just continue to pray. And I want to ask you, maybe you're here today and you've never accepted Christ. You say, Mike, man, I don't really know how to be saved, but I want to be. Mike, I feel like it's time for me to make that decision. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand. Nobody's looking but me. Just raise your hand and say, Mike, I want to give my life to Christ. I want to receive Christ for salvation. Anybody? The altar is open. You guys can come and pray. Anybody? Raise your hand and say, Mike, that's me. I want to receive Christ. I want to ask Christ to come into my life, to be my Lord, my Savior. Anybody? It tells me that most of us in this room are believers. So this room is full of believers. But let me ask you this. Are you a believer who has submitted and surrendered to the workings of the Holy Spirit? Is there the fruit of gentleness in your life? If not, then what are you willing to do? What are you willing to die to? If, as we read in the Scriptures, there are certain sinful desires that we crucify, that we nail to the cross of Christ, that we literally submit to Him, that we lay down, that we nail it to that cross. So what's keeping you from being there? Is it the flesh? Is it arrogance? Is it pride? Is it fear? Too often we walk in a state of fear rather than a state of power and a sound mind. Rather than walking in the understanding of God's Word, walking in the peace that comes from knowing Him. So what's keeping us from experiencing all that God has for us? Ask God to search your heart. Ask God to reveal what is the barrier, what's keeping you from being all that God wants you to be. This many believers ought to be making an incredible impact in our community, in our families. And I want to pray for you that any hate, any anger, any kind of garbage or sin that has maybe taken over your mind and your heart in these last few weeks, that you would release it. You would relinquish that. And you would receive what the Holy Spirit wants to give you. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for the incredible gift of gentleness. Father, we ask you to work in us. God, I pray for our church. God, I pray for our people. God, that you would take away the anger, the bitterness. Lord, Father, the dissension that Satan is trying to work. What is going on in our nation right now is exactly what Satan loves to see. But God, let us be a voice of hope. Let us be a voice of truth. Let us be a voice of peace. And God, let us, by our actions, Lord, Father, be the evidence of you at work in us. God, we pray that you would use us as your witnesses this week through our gentleness. God, not that we work up, not that we try to just apply, but God, that what we submit and surrender to, we allow you to work in us. We allow you to change the way we see people. God, help us to be more focused on the souls of men, God, than the divisive issues of our nation right now. God, let there be unity among the body of Christ. God, let it be about exalting you, glorifying you, and pointing people towards you. God, we pray these things in Jesus' name.